Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. So what does it take to be a Christian? I remember when I was in high school, the band teacher came up to me one day. I don't know why he had this on his mind or whatever, but he came up to me and said, "You're a Lutheran." I went, "How on earth would you know something like that?" He says, "Well, because you're Finnish. And all Finns are Lutheran." I have to tell you, I was actually insulted because my faith, even at that point, meant more to me than just something that I had inherited because I happened to be Finnish. Jesus made it very plain that the sons of Abraham were not any more important to God than anybody else. Heritage does not give us any, you know, gold stars or anything when it comes to faith. I also had an interesting experience when I was in the militia. This is one of the things that you know, sometimes surprises people, that I spent a number of years in the militia. My confirmation classes are always stunned to realize that at one point I knew how to strip and assemble a submachine gun. So there. Anyway, I was working at Dundurn one summer where I did summer training, and this warrant officer came up to me. And I think at the time, I might have been a corporal. And but of course, the warrant officer comes and he's looking at me very intently. And you know that when the warrant officer looks at you very intently, you immediately start wondering if all of your clips and buttons and everything else are quite in order, and did you shine your shoes well enough that day? And he looks at me and says, "I know something about you." I'm going, what, sir? He says, "You're a Christian." Well, let's just say there weren't an awful lot of Christians running around that military base. I think I just about leapt in his arms and said, "You mean you're a Christian too? There's another Christian in this place?" But I asked him, "How would you know that?" I mean, it's not like I saw him at church parade or anything. He said, "Well, because of the respectful way that you treat everyone, and you can be trusted to do your job, and you obviously have integrity." I thought, well, it's nice that I can be trusted and I have integrity. Hate to tell you guys, good behavior does not make you Christian either. But, you know, the good thing about that story is that I got to know him, and he and I did a Bible study together for the rest of the summer, and it was great to find some Christian fellowship in the midst of that ungodly atmosphere. Now, that's not to say that all people in the military are necessarily ungodly. Let's just say I didn't see a lot of people at church parade that summer. So, what does it mean to be a Christian? How is it that we come to identify ourselves as Christian? Now, Nicodemus was after some spiritual truth from Jesus. The word Christian hadn't even been coined at that point, so of course he was not going to ask, what does it take to be a Christian? But that was kind of what he was going after. When he saw something in Jesus and he said, "You're from God, and you have something that I want to know about." And then Jesus replies with this enigmatic statement that has caused all manner of consternation in the kingdom of God ever since. "No one can see the kingdom of God without being," and then what do you put in there? "Born from above? Born again?" Depends on which translation of the Bible you read, which you're going to find. I found myself just fascinated by that because to me, I was looking at it and going, are these the same thing? Are they similar things? Do they go together somehow? I looked at Bible Gateway and I discovered that about 60% of translations say born again and about 40% of translations say born from above. I am not a Greek scholar by any means. In fact, I had to be very carefully coached to get through my required Greek classes in seminary. But I know people who are. So I phoned the Reverend Dr. Paul Knutson, who used to teach New Testament at Rocky Mountain Bible College. And I said, I'm confused because we've got this, what is obviously a really important word that there seems to be such utter confusion about. And how many of you do not have English as your first language? There must be at least a few of you that have some other language as your first language. Yes. Anybody who has had something other than English as their first language understands totally that sometimes translation is tricky. Sometimes there is virtually no way of getting an exact translation from whatever the original language was to English. Sometimes in your languages, there might be words that there is no English equivalent for. So I asked Dr. Paul about this particular text, and he said, well, it uses a Greek word that has some ambivalence to it. And so it can be translated as born again or born from above. No wonder poor Nicodemus was so confused. How can this possibly be? How can a person who is old go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Obviously, in that moment, he read it as born again because that's, you know, how he responded. And Jesus is kind of going, no, you don't get it. You just don't get it. This is about being born from above, born of water and spirit. And what's very interesting is that up until the last 100 years or so, virtually all Christians totally understood that this particular passage had a baptismal reference. That when we are baptized, we are born from above. We are born by water and spirit. We are brought into the family of God. We are made children of God, inheritors of eternal life. A life that starts from the love of God and God's grace in baptism and continues on. So what do we do with this strange phrase that seems to have become so important in so many people's mind, this idea of being born again? You see, some of the Christian world these days makes a big deal out of the question of, are you born again or not? And they have a very specific idea of what that means. And I came to know that a little bit when I took my Doctor of Ministry program. We had 7 people in the cohort, and one day we were asked to share our testimony, basically our story of how it is that we became Christian. I was the only woman in the course, and I was the only person in a mainline denomination in the course. So I'm sitting here listening to all of these guys, and they're basically all telling me stories that, you know, you could rubber stamp one after the other. And it all basically went something like, well, yeah, you know, my parents kind of took me to Sunday school when I was a kid, but, you know, it just didn't really stick, and, you know, I drifted, and I ignored God when I was a teenager, and at some point, you know, when I was a teenager or in my early 20s, or at some point, you know, God kind of grabbed me, and God showed me who God was, and I gave my life to Jesus, and now I'm a Christian. And I listened to this story over and over again 6 times. And it finally comes to me, and I kind of go, what on earth am I supposed to tell these people? So what I finally said is, as long as I can remember, I have always gone to church every Sunday, even when I didn't understand a thing about what was going on, I was there. I was baptized when I was about 6 weeks old. I was confirmed when I was 14. I don't remember there ever being a time in my life when I did not know that Jesus was my Lord. And at some point, God called me to seminary, and here I am. The response was intriguing. Isn't it very good to know that God is at work in mainline denominations too? So I'm here to affirm to you all that yes, God is alive and well and works in mainline denominations too. There is this tendency in that particular world to kind of point back at a specific moment and say, this conversion experience happened and therefore I'm a Christian. For most of us, we can point back and we say, God did something when I was an infant and I was baptized and God gave me the Holy Spirit. And I lived in the family of God. And I affirmed that gift of the Holy Spirit at my confirmation because that's ultimately what confirmation is about. And I have just continued to live that truth. Being a Christian or identifying as a Christian is not about pointing to a specific day and time and saying, that's the day I became a Christian. It really has more to do with the idea of how do we live every day and what is our spiritual reality every day, living our baptism every day and letting that mysterious wind of the Spirit guide and direct every day. I had a professor when I was in college who said that when people came up to him and asked him if he was born again, he said, yes, every day. Every day, God invites us to celebrate who we are in God. Every day, we look to the Son of Man who was lifted up on the cross for us. And every day, we place our trust in him. We discern the call of the Spirit in our lives. And we live that life which comes from above, is now, and goes on to eternity. Every day we celebrate that God so loved us. Amen.